for December 6th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflo.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, I got to go see Hamilton, the musical, here in Chicago.
Well, I can't wait for my birthday, so I can go see Hamilton.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to my wife, who took $20 out of the grocery budget every week for 8 months to get these tickets for us to go see Hamilton.
So all that spaghetti and hot dogs, that was worth it.
So as much as much weight as I've lost in the last 8 months, maybe it was because she wasn't feeding me well.
Ah, could be. Could be.
So that's a double benefit right there.
So now you have your beer budget back.
So now I can get some Christmas ale. There you go.
All right, so you went downtown Chicago. Now, Hamilton had moved, or it's still on Broadway.
It is still on Broadway, doing very well there.
And so they have a second show here in Chicago.
In the second city, yes, sir.
Tell me about it.
I almost have no words to describe this. The best part of the story, other than the fact that my wife got these tickets for us, is after we saw this show, we walked around the city, and I was silent. And that doesn't happen very often for me. I'm a very verbose kind of human. And my wife said to me, "You're being really quiet." I was literally stunned by this production. I was literally speechless for almost an hour afterwards. This is an amazing experience. I think everybody should have the chance to see this and save like $20 a week for 8 months.
All right, so it is sold out. You still can get tickets once in a while. In fact, through our notes, there is actually a link you can go through, and you can see about people abandoning tickets or you can't show up.
Yeah.
There'll be a ticket here or there.
Buddy of mine got sick and had tickets and tried to find somebody on Facebook to take these tickets because he could not go. He was heartbroken.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Now, so when you go, it is an expensive ticket, but you're saying it's worth it. Tell me a little bit about either the sets, the actors, the music. Tell me how you experienced it.
Hopefully everybody who's listening to this has listened to the soundtrack. You know this music. This music is amazing. Lin-Manuel has put together Shakespeare-level poetry. This is a hip-hop-based opera. Every word of the play is in the soundtrack. So if you go to our show notes and go to our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com, you can get this. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a part of your Amazon Prime if you pay for that.
So if you're a Prime member, you can listen to it for no additional cost. Now, you can also find it on YouTube. There's an official version of it that you can listen to it there for no additional cost. I bought it through iTunes. I listen to it roughly weekly.
Amazing. The music is amazing. But being in the room where it happens, that's one of the songs. Being in the room where it happens and watching this cast in Chicago put this together is breathtaking.
Okay.
The way that they were able to be on stage, off stage, on stage, in the middle of this very intricate song. Mm-hmm. Those of you who have listened to it, you hear the voices of these characters entering and leaving, and they are magic in their entrances and exits. There are moments where you go, wait, who is that? Oh, how did she get over there? The way that the visuals are put together, the costuming is brilliant. The color scheme is fantastic. You know who these characters are from the moment they step on stage based on the way that they look.
All right. So who stole the show? Was it going to be Jefferson?
It was Jefferson.
Or was it King George?
It was Jefferson.
It was.
For me, it was Jefferson. I can see for a lot of the audience that King George is a very different character from everybody
else. He's the white guy.
He's the white guy who comes out and sings this love song.
These fun, like,
hilarious.
These songs where he's winking at the audience.
Yes. He is breaking the fourth wall, and it's fun and hilarious, but I knew that was going to happen. It was the Jefferson. The actor who played Thomas Jefferson in our production was so hard to take your eyes off of. He was just moving his body in a way that I can't do, and telling this story
fancy clothes
from Paris and getting into this character so much that he was our favorite, the wife and I.
Now, I would say, since I have not seen the live show, I've only listened to the album, that when you see the show, you actually have the connection between that actor and the song, so you can appreciate it on a different level. It happened to me when I saw Wicked, where I'd listened to Wicked for a whole bunch. I saw it. All of a sudden, there's either scenes that you get cut out because of you get to see the play. It's not part of the music. Or there's connections and you really can experience it in a different way. Is it true?
It is absolutely true. That is absolutely what I feel about sports. Okay. If I have a personal connection to a single human doing that thing, singing, dancing, acting, throwing the football, if I have a connection to that person, I'm going to be paying attention to that person. If I have no idea who that person is on stage, that's great that they're doing that thing, but I need to have that personal connection. Listening to the soundtrack, you can get a personal connection to these characters, but boy, there's nothing that beats a face-to-face conversation.
Sure.
And when you see another human acting, doing something on stage, you form a real personal connection with that.
All right, and just another question. If you could see it again, would you see it again?
There's a pretty good chance that one day in the next 20 years, I will see this play again. I will probably not see it in the next 5 years. I think that the initial first viewing of this is going to carry me for a long time, first of all.
Okay.
The soundtrack is going to carry me for a long time.
Have you been listening to the soundtrack since?
I have listened to the soundtrack, probably most of the soundtrack in the last 7 days we've gotten through.
And has it given you a new appreciation for it?
It gives me a real appreciation for it, and bringing back those memories of seeing it, that's really good enough. I don't know that I'm going to save for 8 more months and go see this again in the next few years.
Okay.
Because same thing happened with me with Wicked. When the first time I saw Wicked here in Chicago, it was a spectacle, amazing, jaw-dropping musical.
I was blown away.
I went to go see it a second time.
It was a grand experience for me when I saw Wicked too.
It is. I went to go see it a second time, and it was not quite the same experience because it's not a surprise. You know what to expect. You know what to look for. When you see it for the first time, Hamilton is jaw-dropping and stunning.
Well, I think you've hit something, because live theater and live musicals, both of them, they're amazing, because you can experience. I don't know if we truly appreciate how different it is than seeing something in a movie theater and watching a recording.
Or listening to a recording.
Sure, sure. So one is an act of engagement. You're with the live actors, and something unusual could happen, and they react to it.
Right.
The other part is with a recording, it's more passive.
That's right.
So very good.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It filled my expectations and exceeded my expectations. You need to go see Hamilton. You need to save $20 a week for 8 months and go see Hamilton.
I think it's wonderful. In fact, I've seen a number of people talk about their experience seeing it. And even though it is an expensive evening, it is something that I don't think anyone regrets.
It's kind of like going to Disney World. Disney World's expensive, but going there and having the memories and being able to say that you did is a part of society. Go see Hamilton. You saw Finding Dory.
I did. In fact, my daughter last night, we were sitting down on the couch, and we were looking to watch Pets, but Pets is not available for rent right now.
Okay.
So we saw Finding Dory, and which is, it was released earlier this summer. And this is something I have not seen. Have you seen it?
I have not seen Finding Dory.
It stars Ellen DeGeneres.
That's right.
It is certainly not as good as the first one, Finding Nemo.
I think it probably suffers from sequelitis based on what you've told me so far.
Yeah, it does. In fact, at the end of the Finding Nemo, you get this beautiful Robbie Williams singing Somewhere Under the Sea, and it's snappy and poppy. I don't even know who sings the song at the end, but it's certainly not snappy and poppy. Mm-hmm. And the whole, while there is a octopus that is very entertaining in this, and no one will leave this going, wow, that was a waste of my time, or my, you know, if you're a child, you'll love this.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. We're at a time that's so special that we can get these wonderful, wonderful movies out there. And I think this is a story on caring for special needs people.
Okay.
Dory has a memory problem. The parents worked really, really hard on trying to figure out a way to communicate and help her remember. And that's the whole story, is getting Dory back to her mom and dad. And so it's a very touching story on that level. And there are wonderful characters and stuff like that. On a scale from 0 to 100, 100 being great, this is 70. That sounds like, wow, it's a pretty good movie. Yeah, but you've seen these stories before. We've seen so much of them.
Yeah, we've seen similar stories, and because it's a sequel, it pales in comparison to the original. Again, going back to that the first time you saw Finding Nemo, that was a significant, amazing film. Seeing it again, it's still a good film, but yeah. It suffers from you've already seen it.
That's right. You've seen it. And in fact, my fear is that we'll get lots of Pixar films that will be on the similar genre. Once you've taken the time to put together the models and the characters, I mean, it seems very simple to add another layer to them.
I still look forward to The Incredibles Part 2, though.
Oh, I do too.
I think that's going to be a great story. And that's where the storytelling kicks
maybe
in.
Maybe the best superhero story.
The best
movie.
Best Fantastic Four movie, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You also got to see 1949's Holiday Affair.
I did. We were looking, my daughter, my oldest daughter, seems to have discovered the Hallmark channel.
Oh, boy.
And which is, right now,
all Christmas, all sap, all the time.
All movies. 2 hours of sappy television movies. Love American Style.
I think that's not on there.
No. This is a movie called Holiday Affair.
Okay.
This came out in 1949. It's in black and white. My youngest daughter sat there and watched it with me. My oldest got up and left. This is not a great film, but we got to watch it. It's about Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a gentleman who works at a department store, and this lady comes in and buys a train with the exact same money. And I thought immediately of Vegas on this. She's buying it today to take it back to her employer so they can review this train set to bring it back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're caught doing that, just like you're caught cheating in Vegas or something, they'll take your picture and you can never do it again. So there's this, there right there is supposed to be the tension. Well, the lady who did it, she gets caught. The gentleman who becomes the lover, I guess, catches her, doesn't turn her in, so he immediately gets fired. He's moving back to California. There is two. He's one of the gentlemen who shows up for a Christmas meal, and both of them propose to her. I don't know how it could. There could be more of a bow to put around this story. It's kind of hokey. I'm sure this was a television movie type event back in the day when it was released.
Before television movies were a thing in the 1940s, yeah.
It was a toss-away movie. It's certainly, I didn't waste my time watching. I enjoyed spending time with my daughter, and we're kind of sitting next to each other and watching it. But I wouldn't say that you need to seek this out. I saw it on demand in Turner Classic Movies. There's a great place to go find a body of work to explore, and there's a whole group of movies you've never seen.
And you got a chance to see Empire of the Czars.
That's right. It's a three-part series. It came out earlier this year on the BBC. It's now on Netflix on demand. So Empire of the Czars is a story of the Romanov family for the 300 years they ruled Russia. And you learn a little bit about what this is really important in the sense that you can draw a parallel to the Hamilton. Because part of, we're dealing with the 300 years that led up to the Russian Revolution that put the Soviets in power early in the 1900s. Peter the Great, Catherine the Great, who had nothing to do with horses, by the way. That was all just made up.
Okay.
She did have a lot of lovers, though.
All right.
And then we got to deal with Nicholas and the downfall of the Romanovs. Fascinating. Fascinating story. You gotta realize that there was a whole group of Russians who were serfs, and they were serfs where the Industrial Revolution really changed things in Europe quite a bit, and the idea of taking Russia and bringing them up to the standards of Europe at the time, not any different than in the United States, or what was to become the United States, we were rising from that. We were a much different society, but we were dealing with the same challenges. We had slavery here in the United States. In Russia, they had serfs, and were slaves for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. I absolutely ate this up. This was every time I think that I have a basis of knowledge, this group of, you know, I go, wow, I know so much. And you hit me on the shoulder and say, hey, you know so much. You realize
look over here in this corner. I got way more knowledge over here.
I'm a grain of sand on a beach, and I know nothing.
History is so wide. You know a lot about history. I absolutely agree with you, but there's so much more to know, and these sorts of shows are great ways to find out.
We got to see, you know, the capital move from Moscow to St. Petersburg, why St. Petersburg was set where it is, how they established a navy, how they ended up trying to create a naval presence in the Black Sea so they can have something to the west, where they connect to China, where they connect to Europe, and then the Middle East. I mean, Russia is massively large. Mm-hmm. And the issues and the decisions they made from during that time, even through the Soviet era, they still impact those areas so much today. And they're still dealing with the challenges. I mean, just think of taking over a country of a whole group of uneducated people who have been held down for, you know, 200 years or so, and then setting them free. I mean, there's no doubt that you can understand how a revolution would have come on the level of the Soviet style. And it's too bad that they went through that, because there was all the suffering that came through the Soviet way of running a country. And now, since the wall fell, you know, they've got a whole new set of challenges they're running through. Anyway, fascinating. I highly recommend it. It's a 3-part series on Netflix.
Excellent. That one's called Empire of the Tsars. Opening this week, we've got some of the movies that'll carry us through December, headed toward that Christmas holiday. That movie-going season is in full swing.
And it looked like last week was a very light week as far as the movies we were kind of talking about. Uh-huh. This week seems like there's going to be a lot of depth, but a lot of different markets being hit by these.
All sorts of different people go to the movies, and they have all sorts of different movies for different people. The first one might very well be the movie of the year. This looks really amazing. It's called La La Land.
And it's put together by the gentleman who put together Whiplash.
Oh, there you go. So you know that you have quality going in.
It stars, of course, Gwen Stacy.
you know that these characters actually have actors behind them, right?
It's got Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. There you go.
All right. So La La Land. And it looks like, even though no trailer shows this, it's a musical. So there's dancing going on. In fact, there's one scene that shows them dancing across the sky. I mean, truly, there's kind of a dream element to this.
That's one thing that I've noticed as a producer of musicals, is the trailers for a musical don't make them look like a musical. I think most people think they don't like musicals. Most people say they don't like musicals.
And then they get sucked in.
And then they get sucked in, because the musical brings in so many more elements than a boring old acting gig does.
Well, I look forward to seeing this.
This looks fantastic. The other one that's opening this week also looks fantastic for a way different reason. This one's called Office Christmas Party. And boy, I love my really raunchy comedy in a very specific piece of raunch. I like my slapstick comedy in a very specific corner of that. And this one looks like it's going to fill my desire for a silly comedy.
So it supposedly takes place in Chicago.
Of course.
And it's got all these Saturday Night Live characters in it.
Right.
Players, excuse me, actors, who we really should just call them Second City actors.
Right. We've got Jason Bateman. We've got Olivia Munn. T.J. Miller is not a Saturday Night Live guy, but he's a comedian of sorts. Jennifer Aniston plays the really straight, not part of the comedy. Then we've got Kate McKinnon sitting next to Vanessa Bayer in this office scene in the trailer. I am all in on this.
And the scene where they bring out the reindeer, because it's a Christmas party, by the way.
Right.
And they ask, where'd you get reindeer? It's better if we didn't talk about that.
Office Christmas Party. I think we all have experienced an Office Christmas Party. We know what it could be. And if we went to the silly extreme, this movie is going to fill that niche.
With lots of slapstick
Lots of silly, lots of falling down. I have high expectations for this one.
They have three jugs with gin, one with gin, one with tequila, and one with vodka. I mean, it's just...
There you go.
And they invited everyone in Chicago to see it.
If you haven't seen this trailer, I recommend watching this trailer. You get a pretty good idea of what you're in for with Office Christmas Party. The other one's called Nerdland.
Nerdland takes place in... Well, L.A. area, sort of the Hollywood area.
Yeah, this is an animated feature. There's some voice work. I love when actors do their voice work and they get into it. This one has Paul Rudd and Patton Oswalt in the two main characters in this one.
Ratatouille himself.
Yeah, Ratatouille. And the new henchman in the new MST3K coming out in 2017.
Exactly. And we also have, what do we have? We have Mike Judge.
Mike Judge is adding a voice into this as well.
Mike Judge did the voices of Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, sir.
And also he was
King of the Hill.
That's right. And he wrote Office Space.
Uh-huh. Back to office comedy again.
Oh, all the fun stuff.
So, yeah.
This movie is a story of these two writers who are trying to break into Hollywood. They're turning 30. According to the Hollywood standards, that's way too old to get involved in anything. And so this is their story of these unlikable people kind of trying to break their way in. It's going to be a commentary on Hollywood. I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. This looks very good.
Probably pretty gritty. This is written by the same guy who wrote Seven and Fight Club. So
we don't talk about Fight Club.
Those are some pretty gritty stories.
We don't talk about Fight Club.
I love seeing animated reality. Taking a real story, having a commentary, having a message. This is a writer saying something about being a writer and making it animated so he can do anything he wants to in it.
Well, let's talk about a very light program that's coming on Netflix. Something so light, except for the very special episode at some point.
There you go.
What would that be?
December 7th, Fuller House Season 2 is hitting Netflix. The whole season is going to be dropped on Netflix on December 9th. And if you remember...
This was a big hit.
The Fuller House Season 1 was a big hit, and it was in 2016.
And it was earlier this year.
It was this year. They have dropped two seasons of a sitcom on Netflix in 1 year.
And the beauty of that is if you can find a market and people to watch it, and a lot of people watch Fuller House, then you can put together your seasons as you finish them.
Right.
And so...
What a world.
Oh, we live in the most special time as far as for entertainment, any number of things you could talk about. But Fuller House is something that Steve will be watching. I won't be, but Steve will have a great time watching.
You'll have it on in the house. One of the girls will watch it, and you'll walk by and wonder why they're watching that again.
And you are absolutely correct. My children love the first season and love watching the old ones before that, too.
Right.
And those are 20 years old or so.
Yeah.
So, wow.
I do look forward to this. I do like my stupid sitcoms. I love my silly sitcoms, and this absolutely fills that niche.
That's not the only thing coming on Netflix this week, though.
On that same day, December 9th, we are getting the new White Rabbit Project.
The White Rabbit.
This is from the producer of MythBusters. It's featuring the three people from MythBusters, Carrie, Tori, and Grant.
Doing MythBusters stuff.
Doing MythBusters. We could call it Fuller
MythBusters 2, not the original.
Right.
This is like not any different than last week we reviewed Grand Tour.
Right.
Which was basically Top Gear on Amazon Prime.
Take Top Gear, take those guys and move them to a different show that's pretty much the same show.
Riff Tracks doing Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yep.
So there's a whole bunch of this. You know, you got to ask yourself, was the story, was the show interesting because of the actors, the writers, or was it interesting because of, you know,
the material?
Material, yeah.
And in this case, I think it was because of these people. I like watching these people work, and I look forward to seeing their work in the White Rabbit Project starting on the 9th. That's exciting to me. Brings us to our book of the week, and speaking of exciting things in December.
That's right, there's going to be something that'll be happening, and it's not the big fat guy coming down the chimney.
On December 16th, 2016, there's going to be a movie in theaters called Star Wars Rogue One, Chip.
I haven't seen any hype at all about that.
I still haven't seen a trailer for that.
I have. Let me tell you about
it. I have not seen a commercial for that. I have not seen a trailer for that. Every time a commercial comes on TV, the 10-year-old and I start going, la, 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 la. We run for the remote and we change the channel. I don't want to know anything about this movie.
But you're going to tell me about the movie because this is the setup.
I read the setup book, which is called Star Wars Catalyst, a Rogue One novel. This is by James Luceno, and it is the story before the story, so that I have my background knowledge going into this movie on December 16th.
The story before the story. So tell me about it.
So we have the setup of, we know that this story takes place in that time when the Empire is building the Death Star. We know in 1977, there was this thing called the Death Star, and a ragtag band of rebels stole the plans, tried to send them to King Organa on Alderaan through his daughter, Princess Leia, and that didn't work out so well for King Organa.
All I want to do is, like, Hot Tub Time Machine, just say, nerd. Nerd. He's a nerd. No,
I know way too much about the Star Wars universe. There's no question about that. This is why. Because I love the pre-story of these movies. I love reading the backgrounds.
All right. So this is the setup. All right. In Star Wars with Luke Skywalker blowing up the Death Star.
Right.
This is the story of getting the plans.
That happened right before Star Wars 1977 began.
Okay, so Rogue One deals with getting those plans. This Correct. Is the prequel to get you to that
this
point.
This is the prequel to the prequel. The prequel oh, to yes. getting the plans in R2-D2 in 1977. Yeah, nerd is about the right word at this point.
All right, so tell me about it, because as we were kind of planning for it, there is some interesting stuff we need to know.
Yeah, there's a lot of philosophy in the Star Wars universe, and one there of is. The philosophies... goes into this is the philosophy of the Kyber crystals. Those of you who have been paying
Nerd.
Any attention
Nerd.
Outside of the actual Star Wars movies, you know that the Kyber crystals are the thing that powers the lightsabers. And in this story, we have a scientist named Galen Erso, who has been working with these Kyber crystals for a long time. He's the renowned expert on these crystals. And they find a really big one. And the battle between the Empire and the Separatists, the rebels that they will become, is pulling to see who's going to get control of this really powerful object. And so they kidnap the scientist, and he's used as a pawn between the two separate groups.
All right, so let's back up with these crystals real quick. Mm-hmm. These crystals are used by the Jedi and the Sith mm-hmm. to build their lightsabers.
Right. They are the crystal that powers that light to make that laser thing happen.
And so when, you know, to be a Jedi, or mm-hmm. I guess to be a Sith, you are to build your own. And, you know, if we remember Return of the Jedi, we have Luke building the green lightsaber. That was his last thing he had to do
to become a real Jedi,
besides defeating Vader.
Right.
So he did. So we have the crystals to build that, and that crystal is going to be used for the Death Star to basically build a great big lightsaber.
The Death Star is a really big lightsaber.
To go blow up planets.
Uh-huh. That's really the big takeaway of this story is, wow, that's not a laser weapon. Oh, wait. It is a laser weapon. It's a giant laser sword. It's a giant lightsaber.
Okay.
But it's a red one, so it's a Sith.
So it's a bad guy.
So it's a bad guy.
All right, so we have that as part of it also. These crystals also, did you tell me they choose their master?
They choose their master.
So
nothing like Harry Potter at all.
J.K. Rowling had nothing to do with this. Maybe she was a consultant. You don't know that.
Remember.
The wand chooses you, young Harry.
Remember, Star Wars is not science fiction. Star Wars is space fantasy. And as much as I don't like fantasy, I love Star Wars.
Which makes total sense.
It makes total sense.
So the crystal chooses you. So the question I have, mm-hmm. particularly if you are in a Death Star, do you have to have a person who can control the Force
in order to make the crystal do what you want it to do? That is a fantastic question. It's not addressed in this novel.
We don't know, but there seems to be another story that we'll probably
have to tell. Might be another story in another 10 days. 10 more days until Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars! I look forward to this movie. I think it's going to be great. It's not going to be the box office hit that Episode 7 was. The number of people who still don't know that Rogue One is a story other than Episode 8 is frustrating to me. I have this conversation daily right now.
Well, they were, we'll just blame it on the election because obviously all those ads were going on.
Right.
But since those ads left, the ads have been showing quite a bit. They're on heavy rotation right now.
But it's confusing to a lot of people because the female lead looks kind of like the female lead from the other movie. And they go, okay, so this is that girl from that movie. The people who don't watch a lot of Star Wars, mind you.
Sure.
And they don't know the story of Rogue One still.
They don't know the story of America.
They should read James Luceno's Catalyst Rogue One novel. They should get it from our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars brings us to our appetizer app of the week. The other thing I've been doing, other than going to Hamilton, reading a Star Wars novel. This has been a great week for me.
Well, you had a birthday.
I had a birthday.
And so what we also got is Black Friday came. And what happened on Black Friday?
Verizon gave away so many things on Black Friday. They had great deals.
He uses gave away as in you didn't pay anything for
it. I didn't pay a lot. Let's put it that way. I picked up the new Google Pixel
phone.
Well, yeah. I have sold my soul to Google. There is no question about that. I am all in on the Google ecosystem. And the Google Pixel phone, their new flagship, is my new daily driver. I've been walking around with the Google Pixel for a week and a half now, and I love this phone.
All right. So if you have an iPhone, the iPhone 6, iPhone 5, or whatever,
6S?
You may be up for an upgrade. Mm-hmm. And when that upgrade comes, where in the past you would have just considered Apple, mm-hmm. it seems like that Google has made a phone that truly is going to be a competitor to it.
This is absolutely the same specs as the iPhone and the same price point as the iPhone. Mm-hmm. On Black Friday, I got it for half price, but I'm not sure that you're going to find that deal for Christmas. This phone is just as good as the iPhone. Maybe a little bit better. I am in the Google ecosystem. I have the Google Home in the house. Mm-hmm. I've got Google Music is my music service. I've got Google Drive is my document management system. I am in that sphere.
You have 128 megabytes of...
I did. I got the 128. It's a 128 gigabyte phone that
That's on the high end of the Apple phones too. So So you have as much space as you need to, but you're not keeping a lot on that phone because a lot of it's being automatically uploaded to the cloud, not the iCloud.
The Google Cloud.
The Google Cloud.
The way scarier cloud. The Skynet. Oh, wait. We're not supposed to talk about that yet. The Google Pixel phone, the camera is just as good as the iPhone, maybe just a tiny bit better. That's a subjective kind of question. If you look at two photographs, is this photograph better or this one?
The only knock so far that I've read at all is that it's not waterproof. And, you know, I don't swim a lot with my phone.
Right.
So I don't know if that's really something that most of us need to be overly concerned about.
The iPhone is also not waterproof. It is water resistant. This one is less water resistant, but we've lived without a water resistant phone for the last 10 years.
Maybe you have.
Yeah, I don't want a waterproof phone. I'm not going swimming with my phone. That's just not happening. This one has a headphone jack.
It does have a headphone jack.
It has a headphone jack.
Wow, the future is here.
That's an important part of this conversation because I do a lot of sound sending. Mm-hmm. I hook up to speakers in gymnasiums.
My car, I hook up to a headphone jack.
Mm-hmm. And without that headphone jack, it's not that you can't do it. It's just that it's that much more complicated.
Sure, sure.
So I really fully endorse Google and give my soul unto you, Lord Google.
Well, the issue is that in the past where if someone was choosing phones, and maybe they were comparing the Samsung phone to the iPhone. Those are usually the premium phones that we're looking at.
Those have been the top two for a long time.
The premium phones right now would be the iPhone and this new Google Pixel.
Because because the Samsung phone kept exploding.
Well, and they're going to have another Samsung phone, and Samsung's got great software,
and that scar,
which is the Google.
That scar of the news story is going to stick with Samsung for a while. There's a good chance that somebody else could swoop in and be the number two phone provider, and Google is in the running.
Well, we've got some other phones coming out, some Chinese phones that are going to be hitting the market soon.
Oh, yeah. The Huawei is lovely.
And I've got a buddy of mine who works for Huawei, and what we may end up seeing is price just absolutely just tanking on those, and there's the pressure that will be put on these providers. But right now, if you're choosing, if you were up and you had to get a new phone, really, I think you're looking at the iPhone 7 and this Google Pixel.
I agree.
And I don't think you could go wrong with either one.
I agree. They are very different in their ecosystem. If you are buying iTunes Music, iTunes Match, if that's your ecosystem that you live in, you might want to stick with a phone that accesses that.
Sure.
I've been in Google Music since day one on Google Music. I uploaded all of my music to that service instead of the other one, and so it's only logical that I carry around a Google phone. Brings us to our news segment for the week, and speaking of things that I do all the time, Twitter has been shopping around trying to make some money and get sold.
Yeah, well, they've been trying to find a buyer. Yeah. So the question that this article actually asks is a great question, is if you are a business or you are somebody promoting something, is Twitter still relevant to your marketing time and resources? And ultimately, Twitter still is a playground for everyone. That's the beauty of this is whether you're Coca-Cola, American Express,
NFL,
or just a regular Joe, that you can use Twitter. It doesn't cost you anything,
right?
And you can have a voice out there. Yeah, making sure your voice gets heard. Now that's a real challenge.
Another question.
And you know, we've played around with all sorts of things on the too much scrolling Twitter feed, and we tried it to keep it so it's topical and something that's unique and of interest. So we have a voice out there, but you know, how many people are reading and touching it? We don't know. We only can control what we send out in content.
That's right. And those companies that are trying to get their message out there, is Twitter a way to get a message out there? Yes. Yes, it is. But is it a valid, useful, valuable way to get it out there? That's the question.
We don't know. I still would say that if you are trying to get out there and need to get your voice out there, it's a great place to do it. One of the real challenges they have had is trying to find a buyer is that, you know, think about, well, I don't have a problem with Coca-Cola or American Express saying anything on there, but you know, could be any hate group out there could also have a Twitter account and could have followings. Could you imagine being, say, a Disney and being the owner of this and then being responsible for something
everything that everyone says?
And this is the freedom to do this. You don't necessarily want to be associated with that.
Right.
And they just haven't been able to find a way to monetize it.
The other thing you don't want to be associated with is getting your personal information out there. It's a dangerous world. You have to protect some of your private information.
Let's say you were in Frisco, Texas, right outside Dallas, and you were a pastor and you were handing your phone over to a car salesman. Would you have any problems with that?
Well, you shouldn't have a problem handing your phone to somebody, but what if that somebody looks into a part of your memory that you weren't expecting and finds something incriminating on there?
Well, you know, what happens with much of this technology, put in the hands of amateurs, which means most of us, we tend to make silly things happen when we own technology. This pastor was playing around, took up a couple pictures of his wife exiting the tub. And guess what? The car salesman found it, uploaded it to a site. And imagine you're the pastor. Imagine you're the wife of the pastor. She says she's embarrassed by this. I can understand that.
Sure.
Because certainly this wasn't meant for public consumption. But this is a good example of, you know, what celebrities have known for a long time. You need to be careful with how you use your technology and then where you store your stuff, any number of things.
This is true of not only photographs, but this is true of all of your personal data. You want to protect this information.
Well, she said she feels violated for this. You know, obviously, it's embarrassing. And really, it's going to be interesting to see going forward because our children are under a different sort of set of standards than we are. Certainly,
always.
We're not running around the house naked all the time. I mean, most of the time.
Well,
we're running, not running around our neighborhood, are. But, you know, there's going to be CEOs and presidents and stuff like that. They're going to have incriminating videos. They're just going to start popping up. It's, you know, in the old days, you do something for fun and, you know, maybe your neighbor got to see it, but you had control over it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, some 21-year-olds in college, you know, is drunk in the shower or something like that. Mm-hmm. You never know what gets out there and then where it's going to come back to bite you in the future. Yep. We may become much more liberal as far as accepting that life happens, or maybe become more European in the sense that it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Our body parts, and we all have them, and Anthony Weiner is in the corner going, yeah!
Well, yeah, Anthony Weiner has already proposed that we should accept certain things.
Yes. Publicly.
Anyway, my point is be careful with your technology, even though it's fun and stuff like that.
And your data.
Yeah. There's always the opportunity for it to get out there.
Yeah. One thing that's out there is a Hamilton mixtape, Questlove, who's just everywhere nowadays. I love Questlove and what he's doing with music. He and Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy who made Hamilton, have put together a Hamilton mixtape.
All right. So in the old days, like a year ago.
Let me tell you about the old days.
Weekly, I've been listening to the Hamilton musical.
Right.
I drive around everywhere. It's a great thing to listen to. Well, you know, sometimes I've listened to them enough. What if we got some pop singers to sing these same songs?
Right. That's exactly what this is. This is a list of pop singers who you've heard of who are singing these songs for us in a different rendition so that we can enjoy this music in a different way.
Jimmy Fallon sings on this.
There you go. How amazing is that? I love Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, by the way, class of 92. Thank you very much. He is the host of The Tonight Show.
And he's also the King of England.
And he's got so many skills. Singing is one of his great skills. It's amazing to me that he's a part of this.
Ben Folds sings with he does sing with Regina Spektor. We have a whole bunch of rap artists who are re-singing these songs. All I can say is, so far I've enjoyed it. You can listen to some of it on YouTube, uh-huh, where it's been uploaded for, I guess, I don't know if it's forever, but it's for consumption, and I think it's legally. And then you cannot get it through Amazon Prime, but you can get through Amazon Streaming, their paid service.
Right.
So many of these paid services probably have it too.
Or you can just buy a copy of it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
And speaking of that, it's much more expensive to buy the MP3 version on Amazon right now than it is to buy a physical copy.
And the physical copy comes with the MP3s for free.
So I don't get that. Maybe it counts as two sales if they do it that way.
It might be counting as two sales is why they do that. But yeah, let's go and pick this up. Let's stick it in some stockings in a couple of weeks and make some people happy.
Christmas is coming. Hanukkah's coming. I heard they give out gifts there that time.
Yeah, Hanukkah starts on December 24th this year. So that works out really nice.
That's right. That's the eve of something else.
Oh, yeah. Good. So pick up the Hamilton mixtape, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. And the other thing that we're just telling people what to do this week.
Hey, let's tell you what to do. So next Tuesday, not this Tuesday.
Right. A week from today, Tuesday, the 13th of December, we are going to our local theater and we're going to catch another Fathom event. We love our Fathom events. This one is George Takei's Allegiance.
All right. So George Takei's Allegiance is a Broadway show.
Yes.
Or is it off Broadway?
I believe it is on Broadway.
Okay. So it is a story. Actually, you're going to get a film version of the live performance.
Yes.
And it is the telling during World War II where if you were of Japanese descent, mm-hmm, you could have been round in the United States, by the way. They could round you up, tell you to head off. They put you in a camp, mm-hmm, out in Arkansas. So right. So George Takei.
And this, his family.
And this was his youth, was in this camp. So we think of concentration camps just in Germany, but man, it happened in the United States.
Happened right here in the United States.
An amazing violation of rights. Potentially, it could have something to say about, you know, how we view immigrants today. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting story told to song. If you want to listen to the music like I kind of do, just go to our notes. You can go right to Amazon. And through Amazon Prime, you can listen to it for no additional cost.
Those of you who are Prime members, and if you're not a Prime member, seriously, what are you paying for? This is great. I love the fact that Fathom Events gives us these Broadway musicals at a very discounted price, so I could see this without going all the way to Broadway and saving for 8 months to get a ticket to this show.
Sure.
I can go to my local theater. You can join us on Tuesday, December 13th, in your local theater to watch this.
If you're local, you can actually just message us and you can go with us.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you can just go to your local theater. Fathom Events puts on wonderful, wonderful stuff. We should also mention that this Broadway production deals with something that became maybe the word of the year.
Yeah, the dictionary.com word of 2016 is xenophobia.
That's the zeitgeist of 2016.
And I'm buying you a thesaurus for Christmas. Yes, xenophobia is the word of the year, not for any good reason. This is a scary word where we are afraid of certain
afraid of people because they're different.
Yeah.
And I can promise you this, and this is one of the things that we really have a hard time accepting, but almost any immigrant group that's ever come over in the past, we've always looked at them with suspicion. You know, in the early 1900s, we had the Jews, we had the Italians, we had the Irish come over. I mean, obviously, the Irish spoke a whole different language.
Right.
But they looked a little different, they smelled different, they ate differently. Mm-hmm. But if you go to any restaurant today, we've all adopted their food.
And a lot of it, yeah.
Sure. And we can go back even further. I mean, from Germans to, you know, any group that you brought over. Mm-hmm. English coming over.
Yeah.
Anybody. So this is always interesting.
Always a topic.
And, you know, we've got a whole new group of people. So let me just make sure I'm clear on this. That means 10 to 15 years, we'll have these awesome restaurants.
Oh, yeah. I'm already stuck on the shawarma, man. I mean, there's so many great foods from around the world.
Oh, all these great.
Now I want a shawarma.
Now we have all these great traditions we'll have to, like, adopt.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be more than just St. Patrick's Day and more than Columbus Day and all that other stuff. Yeah, we're gonna have all these new Excellent. Things we got to add on to our
fantastic. We could do live shows for all of them.
Oh yeah,
so our holiday extravaganza has nothing to do with Christmas.
Anyway, George Takei's Allegiance seems like it's going to be a very interesting show.
Yep,
I look forward to seeing it.
Excellent. I think we have enough information to survive another week, Chip. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
Yes, we can. Then we'll go see Allegiance next Tuesday.
Excellent.
After we do the show. It'll be fantastic. If you need more information, there's plenty of ways to find it. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find all the information that you need to know stuff. That's what it's all about, Chip. I think that's what it's all about, other than Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars comes out 2 weeks from now.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future.